right. This is Lori Forrester. This is Living Today on Martha Stewart Living Radio, Sirius XM 110. We want to talk to you, so call us at 866-675-6675. And it's Wednesday, right? And it's Wines Day. We're not exactly doing wine. We are going to talk about sake. Yeah. And in order to do that, I had to bring in a sake expert because I know a little, but a little can be dangerous. So Henry Seidel is the founder of Jodo Sake, and it's an artisanal sake company. He brings us the best from Japan, and he really started on this journey while he was back in college, and I'm going to let you tell us a little bit how you got into it. But thank you so much for coming and really teaching us. Yeah. Already I know it's not sake, it's sake, and so I love that. I'm going to get that right. But how did you start importing? Because are you Japanese?
I'm not Japanese. I'm American. Okay. Born and raised New Yorker.
How'd you get into this?
I studied Japanese in college. Okay. I had been interested in Japan when I was in high school, mainly through watching Japanese movies.
Great.
And then went to college and started studying Japanese and lived in Japan and studied for 4 years.
Wow.
And, became pretty much fluent. And then after college, went into the food business.
Okay.
First working as a cook. And then I joined Ciao Bella Gelato, which is a wonderful ice cream company, in 93 when it was a tiny business.
Wow.
And was involved in growing that. And then joined the Brooklyn Brewery.
Oh, yes, I've had that too. You've been around. You like these fermented things.
Yeah, I went from sort of soft and, legal to something that required a legal drinking age and a little bit harder. Because after Brooklyn Brewery, I went to Belvedere Vodka.
Wow. And Chris is piping up over there when you said Brooklyn Brewery, I know.
Yeah. It's just the idea of, Ciao Bella Gelato and then Brooklyn Brewery. And so it seems like there's a lot of things that kind of, we're on their way to becoming. Yeah. Those are kind of big companies now with very defined. They're all obviously gelato for flavor, and Brooklyn Brewery known for its experimentation and flavor.
Yeah.
Belvedere is big deal now too. So what made the switch into sake?
Well, I started drinking sake even though I'd lived in Japan, and I was basically a good homestay student when I was there. I didn't really go
really?
Out.
Really? Okay.
But I first discovered sake probably in around the year 2000. I went to a wonderful restaurant here in New York called Sakagura, which is a sake bar that serves around 200 sakes by the glass.
Wow.
And I'd never drunk sake before and had it and was just like, this is amazing. And so I started going there. And just learning more and more about sake and buying books and then getting on newsletters and getting Japanese magazines and
great.
Really.
And then deciding that you wanted to bring the great stuff, more of it, into the country so that people could know it the way you do, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
wonderful. I saw some companies doing it, but I wanted to do something a little bit different, something that's a bit more consumer friendly, but also have a really wonderful selection of sakes.
Well, great. And one thing I wanted to ask you about, because back when I was in software before I started studying wine, and we do study sake a little bit, I had only ever had hot sake, what I used to call it, sake, hot sake, and it was kind of rough, but, I'd kind of gut my way through it. And it was okay, but I never really enjoyed it. But then once I tried some of the chilled sakes, which I think are much more like wine than like an alcohol, then that turned the corner for me, and now I love it. So tell us the difference between those two.
Yeah. Well, going back about 10 years, all that people really drank and that was available was inexpensive, what people think of as bulk sake, which is served hot. It's not necessarily bad. It's just the flavor and profile of sake that's served hot is quite different from what's served chilled. Mm-hmm. So there's three main levels of premium sake: Junmai, Ginjo, and Daiginjo.
Yes.
And Ginjo is really what people are starting to drink a lot of. It's very light and fruity and aromatic and very much like a wine. And it's served chilled. You can't heat Ginjo sake. It just ruins it.
Yes.
But Junmai's and a little bit lower level, inexpensive sake, actually when you heat it, it's quite wonderful. I always tell people, bad sake is always served hot. But there are good sakes that can be served heated and that are wonderful.
Okay.
But really, most of the more premium sake, the ginjos and daiginjos, are served chilled.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good, because not everybody knows that, and I'm glad. And there's a difference, though, the way people view sake now. And certainly, I just said, for me, they're different. But just in general, in the whole country, there's a difference. Now people are, I think, getting it. You know, even Chris, we were talking earlier, knowing this was coming on.
Yeah.
And he's had, with friends, some of these higher-end chilled sakes.
Yeah.
So there's more awareness now of these that
absolutely.
We're going to start tasting. I can't wait for that part.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
It's been a transformation of viewpoints on sake.
Definitely. Definitely. I mean, people really thought of sake as something very generic. But as more and more really good sake came into the U.S., people saw, wow, there's different types, there's different regions.
Right.
You know, even if they didn't have any information, they started to see that sake was actually really varied and differentiated and delicious and very elegant and light and wonderful.
Well, what's the first, let's talk about the different polish types, but what's the first one that are we going to try through the different levels, polish levels of sake?
Yes.
Yep. Wonderful. So tell us about that.
Yeah. So basically, the different levels of premium sake relate to how much the rice has been milled. So the main ingredients for sake are water, rice, yeast, and something called koji.
Koji.
Koji is what converts the starches into simple sugars. A sake rice grain has all the starches in the center of the grain. It's like a hard-boiled egg. And the yolk is the starch in the center. And the first step to making sake is to mill or polish the rice to get down to the starch.
Yes.
And the more you do that and isolate the starch, the lighter and cleaner and fruitier the sake will be, because there's less fats and proteins in the grain and more pure sugar. For example, junmai, and we'll have a junmai, is made with rice that's milled to 70% or less.
Okay.
So they're getting rid of 30% of the grain getting down to the starch in the center. Ginjo is made with rice that's milled to 60% or less.
Okay.
And then daiginjo is made with rice that's milled to 50% or less.
That's my favorite.
Yes. Now, today we're going to try a daiginjo. It's called Watari Bune.
Okay.
And it's made with rice that's milled to 35%.
Wow.
So they're getting rid of 65% of the grain. And people always say, why are these sakes so expensive?
Yeah, because you're getting rid of, you know, so much.
Exactly.
It takes so many grains to make that, I guess, right?
Yes, yes. I mean, they're getting rid of 65% of the raw ingredients.
Wow.
But basically, the levels go from junmais are rich and earthy and hearty, you know, kind of masculine in their flavor, very food friendly. They can be drunk with a wide range of foods. Ginjos are much lighter and more aromatic and fruitier.
Yes.
And then daiginjos are extremely elegant, very refined, often have a concentrated fruitiness or sweetness to them, but also very elegant and focused in their flavors.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited. So why don't we go ahead and let's jump in with the junmai, which is our first one. And one question while we're doing that, I wanted to ask you about in wine and food pairing, and I think it's very similar with sake pairing. You want the overall thing you want to think about is matching the weight of the food to the weight of the wine. And I believe from what I've studied, and hopefully I studied well, you tell me if I'm wrong. Same thing goes, like fuller foods, more robust foods, you're going to do with fuller sakes like this junmai. And then more delicate foods with the more delicate ginjus and daiginjus. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
So, you guys want to, should I be sharing the wealth?
Absolutely.
So here, this,
of course.
The first sake we're drinking is called Shichi Honyari. Shichi Honyari means the Seven Spearsmen.
Okay.
And it's made at one of the oldest breweries in Japan. It was founded in the 1540s.
Okay.
It's managed by the 15th generation of the family. So this this brewery has been in business for 500 years.
Okay.
And this is a junmai. So it's Shichi Honyari Junmai, and you'll see on the
it's
nose.
It's got more of that rice.
Yeah.
Yeah, earthiness to it.
It has a real almost mushroomy aroma to it, but then on the palate, it's actually a lot fruitier and livelier, a little bit of grapefruit, and it's quite viscous. It's a little bit creamy on the palate, very soft. The water for this sake is very soft. So it's a little bit creamy, and then it finishes with like a nice, almost citrusy quality. And that's one thing that's wonderful about sake is that they'll go through a bit of a journey in terms of the aroma and the flavor and the finish.
And the finish, because that's also what we use to evaluate wine, how long you taste it in your mouth is what we mean by finish. You're right. Like, I am still took that one little sip and I'm still tasting that. So that gives you that complexity. And what's nice about it is then when you take your bite of the food and, you know, it works together if you've paired it well, right?
Yeah.
And the bottles are beautiful, too.
They're really wonderful.
I know that's not the reason to buy the certain sake, but they're like a work of art, each one of these labels, aren't they?
They are. I mean, some people get a little bit intimidated by the Japanese characters. We put English on our labels so that they're a little bit more accessible. But, you know, they're really beautiful, very handcrafted. I mean, this brewery, for example, makes about 6,000 cases a year, which is tiny. I mean, there are wine brands sold in the U.S. that are 1 million cases, vodka that's 5 million. This is about, you know, 6,000 cases, so very small production.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's delicious.
Yeah.
And we're going to take a break here, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to try the Ginju and the Daiginju. And I've already recognized that you brought a sparkling sake here, which I'm really excited to taste, too. So this is Living Today with Martha Stewart, Living Radio, Sirius XM 110. Stay tuned. We're going to come back and talk more sake. Right. This is Lori Forrester with Living Today. In my other life, I'm the wine coach, and I've started to get a little fascinated with sake, so we brought in a sake expert. We want you to ask us your questions. It can be kind of intimidating because the labels, you can't understand exactly all that's going on. So call us, 866-675-6675. We just tasted our first sake, and now we're moving into a different level. Tell us about that.
Okay, so the next sake we're having is called Yuki no Bosha. Yuki no Bosha means cabin in the snow, and it's a Junmai Ginjo.
Okay.
And Ginjos are lighter, fruitier, and more aromatic than Junmais. You just had a Junmai, which are kind of earthy and robust.
Okay.
And this is a wonderful sake. It's from Akita, which is in northern Japan. The brewery uses about 50% rice that's grown by the brewers themselves.
Okay.
They use all in-house yeast. It's a very fruity.
Yes, it already smells much fruitier and much different than the Junmai we just tasted.
Yeah.
Take a little sip here.
This is one of our most popular sakes. We sell this to a lot of Japanese restaurants and stores, even American restaurants buy the sake, Charlie Trotter's in Chicago.
Yes.
So, you know, sake can be served with
any kind of cuisine,
lot of different
right?
kinds of food. Yeah, absolutely.
And people think always that sake goes with sushi, but in Japan, they don't do that, do they, so much?
Not really. I mean, in Japan, when you go to a sake bar, the food that you get is incredibly flavorful. Some will be very salty, fermented, grilled, broiled. Sushi and sashimi is actually often drunk with beer or just green tea or water, you know, or very light sakes. But sake bars have very flavorful foods.
So this one's a Ginjo, and that means that it has been polished down to
60%.
So we've got more of that hard outer shell with the harsh flavors, and it's lighter and fruitier, but still has some good substance to it than like the Junmai, but not as much.
Absolutely.
So our medium weight foods in here is what we're looking for with this.
Yes, absolutely.
What would you pair with this food wise?
This would be great with lighter foods. I mean, it certainly can go with sushi and sashimi, especially some of the more oily, fattier fresh fish.
Okay.
But also, you know, even pork, white meat. At the same time, this sake has the ability to pair with some very salty, richer flavors because it's light and fruity and has good acidity.
Great.
So it'll actually cleanse your palate if you're eating something that's kind of intense.
Yep.
And that's one thing about sake is that it's quite versatile in terms of the pairings. You know, the richer ones like Shichihonyari definitely are best with some heartier foods.
Right.
But then some really can be consumed with a lot of different flavors.
Great. So where do we go from here? We had a Junmai and we had a Ginjo. I'm getting all the pronunciations down. So for when I go to Japan, which I want to go to now. So what would be our next level that we would move to?
The next level is Daiginjo. And what you're going to have is Watari Bune Junmai Daiginjo. Junmai means pure rice.
Okay.
So Junmai is a level. Yes. But it also, whenever you see the word Junmai, it means that the sake, there's no distilled alcohol added.
Okay.
Now, if you don't see the word Junmai, it means that there's a little bit of brewer's alcohol added.
Okay.
And that's, it's a very small amount, and that does not make the sake cheaper at all.
Okay.
It just makes it a little bit softer and more aromatic. But this is
Chris, what do you think of this one?
What did I think of numero dos?
Of the second, yeah, dos.
I mean,
How do you say two in Japanese?
Niban me.
I thought it was very good. I mean, it was markedly different, both on the nose and in taste, from the first one, and you could tell that it just seemed more refined. I said during the break that it kind of started. I wanted to describe it the way I would describe like a. Kind of a light white wine, maybe like something in the Sauvignon Blanc kind of territory.
Yes.
Because it wasn't entirely totally sweet.
Yep.
But then the way it finished, it reminded me a certain amount of certain brandies I think that I've had during the cocktail hour.
Yes.
Where you know it doesn't it has a little bit of a more adult kind of finish to it.
And tell me if I'm saying this right. The area or the prefecture.
Yep.
Am I saying that right?
Exactly.
That the sake comes from. Like terroir in wine, which means the wine expresses the place that it comes from, that makes a big difference, right?
Yes.
Even if it's the same, they're both Junmais or they're both Ginjos, the place is going to have a different taste in the sake because of the water and all of those things, correct?
Yes. It's not quite the same because with wine, terroir is very much about agriculture and really the grapes.
Okay.
But what you have with sake, because sake is brewed, almost like a beer, so it's really, I want to say, manufactured.
Mm.
What you'll have in terms of regionality is more that sake is produced for the regional food or the climate or the culture. So Yukinobosha, for example, that you had is from Akita, which is in northern Japan, and there's a lot of wonderful Ginjo and fruitier style sake in Akita and in Yamagata, which is south of it.
Okay.
But then towards the Kansai area, where the first sake is from, it's from a region called Shiga, you'll find a little bit more traditional, kind of older style sakes. It's actually quite a bit like wine, where you have old world and new world.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
You're speaking
yeah.
my language
yeah.
now. I
yeah.
love it. Well, this and is... So hold on. This is yeah. Living Today on Martha Stewart Living Radio. If you want to call us to ask questions of Henry about sake, call us at 866-675-6675. And I just took a sip of this. Go ahead and continue.
Right.
This.
So this is Watari Bune Junmai Daiginjo. This is very expensive sake. It sells retail for
No wonder
about,
I love it the most.
Yeah, right.
Man, what are we talking about? What's this setting me back?
This is going to be about $130 a bottle.
Wow.
Easily. In
okay.
a store. The rice is polished at 35%, and Watari Bune has a wonderful story behind it. Watari Bune is the name of the varietal of rice that's used with grapes. There are different varietals. There are different varietals of sake rice.
Okay.
And this brewery revived this strain of rice after it had been extinct for about 70 years.
Oh, that's amazing.
They learned about it and that it made wonderful sake, and they found seedlings that the Japanese government had preserved at an agricultural research center. And they recultivated this rice and started making this sake and named it after the rice varietal.
Okay.
And yes, it's a Junmai Daiginjo.
Watari Bune.
Yep. Watari Bune. Junmai Daiginjo.
It's delicious. It's light. It just kind of like dances on your palate.
Yeah.
And it's floral, but also fruity. It's...
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
delicious.
We have someone who sells our sake in Oregon calls it liquid gold.
Mm.
Which is pretty accurate.
It better be. Well, we just have a little bit of time left, and I know there are unique styles. Like, we talked a little bit about unfiltered sakes called Nigori.
Yep.
And those are a little bit like wheat beers in the fact that they're unfiltered
sure.
and cloudy,
yep.
and you have that sort of element to it. But there's also, I'm a big sparkling wine fan, and
mm-hmm.
I guess there's sparkling sake.
Sparkling sake, absolutely.
And tell me a little bit about how that is made.
Well, this one is actually made almost like Belgian beer or champagne.
Okay.
Where yeast is added to the bottle to produce a secondary fermentation in the bottle.
Okay.
Some, quite honestly, the less expensive ones are made just by sort of injecting CO2 into the product. But this is an all-natural fermentation. It's called Hohoshu. Hoho means bubble, and shu means sake.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, it's a little bit sweet, too,
it's very
right?
sweet. It's only 6% alcohol, so there's a lot of residual sugar. It is partly a Nigori, so you'll see that it's kind
it's
of
a little cloudy,
cloudy
yes.
And it's wonderful. It's all these should be served chilled, but this is just absolutely served chilled.
It's delicious.
Little spritz of lemon kind of brightens it up and brings out some acidity.
Well, while I enjoy another sip of this delicious sparkling sake, why don't you tell folks, before we end, how they can find out more about Jodo Sake, and there's probably some education stuff there, as well as how they can
find
these delicious.
Yeah. We have a wonderful website. It's www.jotosake.com. That's JOTOSake.com, JotoSake.com. We have Facebook page, and we're on Twitter as well. And also, we've been doing a lot more with YouTube. I went to Japan and filmed for about a week, and we now have more and more videos about our breweries and how sake is made.
And I think once you really, because we didn't have time, next time you come back, you need to talk more about the process, but it's in depth.
Yes.
So those videos are really helpful.
Yeah. They're great. But, I'd say our website is the best way to learn about sake.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for being here. This has been an amazing education and delicious as well. And this is Lori Forrester, the wine coach. I've been hosting Living Today on Martha Stewart Living Radio the last 3 days, and it's just been amazing. I met so many great, cool people like Henry, and thanks to Chris and Naomi for making this an amazing week. So tune in tomorrow, because there's going to be more great solutions for living and maybe some other cool, tasty things to learn about. Thank you so much for listening in and having me. If you want to find out more about me, you can go to thewinecoach.com. Thanks.